Episode 44 with Robert New of YouNeedFat.com.
We get a decent mix of people. Like, you know, every once in a while somebody will come in and be like, oh God, like, you know, just go away.
Welcome to the Matt Report, the number one WordPress business podcast. This isn't geek speak. It's about the journey of success and failure as a WordPress entrepreneur. Get ready. You're just an episode away from your next aha experience or big idea. And now your host, Matt.
Hey, everybody. Welcome back to another amazing episode of the Matt Report. A few housekeeping items before we dive on in. Slocumstudio.com, youtube.com/Slocum Studio. That's my main company. That's where we're doing all kinds of other WordPress shows. So if you're looking for some of the best plugins or themes to use, or if you're looking how to find some web marketing and SEO stuff, or if you're looking how to do some basic WordPress development, and lastly, if you're looking for the hottest WordPress news of the week, we do all of that at youtube.com/Slocum Studio. Just run down the name of the shows. It's Press This, Fresh Dev, Week in WordPress, and SEO Lunch. So tune into the YouTube channel. It's not on iTunes yet, but I do hope to get it there so that you guys can download it and listen to it. And lastly, one of the things that we're really proud of is we launched our first free theme into WordPress.org. It's called Minimize. You can find it at wordpress.org/themes/minimize, or just search for Minimize. It's a free responsive blogging or starter theme for your next WordPress project. Comes with a couple colors, a couple web fonts. Check it out. Let us know what you think, how you would use it on your next project. Is there something that you want us to add? We'll be happy to take that into consideration and work it from there. But yeah, we're pretty proud of this project. It's our first real free one that we're really getting out there. So excited to see where it goes. With that, on to the show. Hey, everybody. I'm here with a good friend of mine, Robert New. Robert, say hello to everyone.
Hey, what's up?
Robert, you're known for your talent on the web of SEO, digital media marketing, WordPress development, WordPress design, WordPress banter, WordPress meetups, WordPress, everything WordPress. give folks that 2-minute elevator pitch, who you are, what you do.
I run Fat Media, and our primary thing is that we do internet marketing stuff for people who run their businesses on WordPress, and we only work with people who are on WordPress. I won't, like, do any Joomla stuff. I won't do any Drupal stuff. It's just not worth it to me. We focus entirely on WordPress because that's what I know, and that's what I like, and it makes my life easier, and so that's pretty much what we do.
Awesome. And we chatted a little bit before the show started. We talked about the stuff that you do in meetups. Why don't you tell folks a little bit about one of the meetups that you run down there?
Yeah, I run a WordPress SEO meetup here in Tampa, and I started it about, I think it's been about 7 or 8 months ago now, and we're up over 100 members in the group now. And I don't know if there's any other WordPress SEO meetups around, like any that are focused on that exactly, but I haven't seen any. If there are, I'd love to see some others. And we get a pretty good mix of people coming in. We get a lot of business owners. We get other people that are doing SEO. We get an occasional developer here and there. We get a good mix, and we try to keep it like real informal, lots of question and answer, lots of just trying to help people learn more about how they can get more traffic to their site, how they can improve conversions on their site, different stuff like that.
That's awesome. Your site, youneedfat.com, is actually one of my favorite sites to look at. It's just a beautiful design, right? It's just laid out well. I love the call to actions. I'm willing to bet that has to do with your focus on marketing, on good SEO. Tell folks about why that's important and how you kind of leverage that for your site.
I think a lot of people kind of get caught up in things that maybe should be secondary. A lot of people are focused on, I need this many visitors every month, and I need this, da, 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 and they've got this stuff in their head that they've either read online or somebody else has told them is important or whatever. And, you know, if once you get those visitors to your site, if it's unclear what you want them to do, or it's difficult for them to find their way around, and you've got 20,000 drop-down items in your menu, and you've got you know, you know what I mean?
Yeah, well, yeah, exactly.
So these kind of things are important. So it's good to focus on making sure that everything's very clear, that you have, you know, only one, possibly two main call to action sections on every page of your site. You don't want people getting confused. And I try to convey that to my clients when I work with them. And some of them are more receptive than others.
Yep.
You know, some people are really, really, really dedicated to that. Like, I got to have 1,000 menu items, and
I need 3 levels of, you know, of tertiary menus that drop down from another drop down. Totally hear it.
Yeah, and you know, most of the time, if you have some data, and unfortunately not everybody is collecting the data that they should be collecting, but if you have some data through like analytics or use Clicky or whatever, then you can kind of make the case that, you know, look, nobody's clicking on this stuff anyway. Nobody is going down into the third menu in your dropdown. Like, there's like 3 flyouts. Nobody's clicking on that. And you're hurting yourself, because every page now has over, you know, 100 links in the header before you even get into the content. Yep. That's not ideal, and that's an issue. So that's something that I come up against very, very frequently.
This is bringing us to an interesting place, because my typical question to the WordPress developer or designer is, how do you deal with the $500 client? But in regards to SEO, this is also another challenge, because folks don't realize a lot of the good SEO, if you will, is organic. It takes some time. It takes some, you know, bending and some molding and looking at data, seeing what works. You know, how do you get this through the client's head when they first come into SEO? They might not even have Google Analytics installed, so they might not even have data from the last, you know, 5 years of running their website. How do you introduce them to this concept of SEO to slow them down and make sure they understand it?
That is an issue. I mean, we do sometimes encounter people that have had sites up for years, and they have very limited data on what's been going on, and we have to kind of explain to them that, you know, look, if we're going to be working on stuff here, we need to be able to measure the results. If you don't know what I'm doing and you can't tell easily, like, that I've increased your traffic this much and it's increased your conversions this much, and, you know, that your AdWords is communicating correctly with your analytics, that these things are things that are important. Yeah. So we just try to go through in the initial phases, we try to explain, you know, why it's important. And I don't like a whole lot of reporting. We try to keep the reporting to a minimum, and most of the clients that I work with, and I've done a lot of like small to medium-sized business stuff, most of them aren't really all that interested in the reports either, to be honest with you.
Gotcha.
They're usually interested in, you know, is my phone ringing more? Do I have more people walking to my door? Do I have more email leads coming in? If the answer to that is yes, then I'm a happy camper. If the answer to that is no, then I'm upset. And I identify with that more than I do with, you know, oh, well, you're rank 2 now for X keyword and da 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 da. You know, that's the keeping track of all that kind of stuff is good for me. But for them, it's maybe not quite as important as, you know, are the leads coming in that you need? Are you getting the phone calls that you need? That sort of thing. I think that's a good metric, especially for the smaller to medium sized business. When you get up into the large scale stuff, then the reporting becomes more of an issue, because you're dealing with people that are that have like a team of developers, and they have other people that are doing a lot of things on the site, and things are more complicated, and they do need to be spelled out in greater detail for whoever's going to be actually making the changes on the site and that sort of thing. So then the reporting becomes more important.
So it's the year 2013. Are you still getting people coming to you saying, "I want to be on the first page of Google. I want to be the result for, you know, Florida plumber or something like that"?
Occasionally, yeah, and we get people like that to come into the meetup a lot, and you know, it's nice to be on the first page of Google for things, and you can be on the first page of Google for things that, you know, make sense for you and your business. If your aspiration is to be on page 1 for like plumber nationally or globally, and you're like a plumber in Tampa, that's maybe kind of a strange goal in the first place. So, you know, we kind of take it and explain to them, you know, look, it's not going to help your business to rank on page one for plumber in California. So we need to make sure that the right people are seeing you at the right time, not some random thing that you got in your head because I don't know where people could get some of this stuff. Like, I really don't.
Gotcha. Recently, I interviewed Eric Hamm. He started out his WordPress entrepreneurship running a service company called Frugal Web Design, which then turned into the Frugal Theme. But we talked a little bit about the branding of the word Frugal. And I'm interested to hear kind of any kind of backstory behind calling it Fat Media, and what kind of reaction do you get from folks when they come to your site? because I love the unique and sort of brashness of the brand. Do you ever find it might even be something where like, what is this all about? Like, you need a fat presence on the web to succeed. Do people not understand that? Do they say, wow, this is the kind of guy I want to work with?
You know, it has kind of had that reaction with some people that they're kind of like, you know, well, what's all this about? And I'd like to have that conversation started. And that's kind of why we went that way. You know, I like to, I don't like things to be boring, you know? Like, I mean, if I'm going to be working on stuff and this is what I'm going to be doing all day, like, I like to have a little bit of fun. And if I can't find little ways here and there to just kind of like make things a little ridiculous, make it a little bit, you know, if you can't find ways to do that, then I think you're doing it wrong. You know, you got to have some fun in your work. You can't just be like all stiff up like, oh, I'm gonna, you know, I've never really been that type of person. And so this was kind of my way of, you know, I'm a big guy and, you know, I was poking a little fun at myself and I thought it would be kind of an interesting conversation starter. And it has been with a lot of people. And some people are like, I can't believe that you would say that about yourself. And da, 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 da. I'm like, yeah, whatever. You know, like, look, I'm fat. What about it? Like, like, you know, it's fine. And also another thing is, you know, like I grew up a fat kid too. And so there was like negativity around that and it sucked sometimes. And I thought it would be a good way to kind of spin it on its head a little bit and make it into more of a positive thing instead of being all, you know, like, oh yeah, it sucked because everybody made fun of me when I was a kid. Ugh, like, whatever.
Poor me. Poor me. that's a tremendous reason for calling the site that and branding it that. And no, I love it. I think it definitely makes a splash. And hey, look, it's if your client wants to also make a splash, then they should feel confident in choosing you and moving ahead with your services. But it's not just SEO, it's not just branding. You're doing some WordPress development as well. When did you make the realization, what was that aha moment that said, you know what, WordPress is the platform for me. I think I can grow this into a scalable business.
Well, I when I first got started, you know, I did your generic kind of like HTML static sites and did little things here and there. And I tried other platforms. I've worked with OpenCart back a few years back, and I've done some stuff on like Magento, which if you've ever worked with Magento, it's a good way to hate yourself. So, I mean, I've worked with most of the popular open source platforms, and WordPress was just the one that was, it spoke to me more than any of the others. It was easier to find my way through with things. Cause I mean, I come from more of a development background. I didn't get into SEO on purpose. And I've been working on this article for PostStatus that Brian asked me to write while he's on his vacation. Mm-hmm. And like, I struggle with writing about like myself and talking about myself and stuff like that. It's never been something that's come really naturally or easy to me. So whenever I have to do something like that, I'm like, I scrutinize over every little thing.
Yeah, I hear you.
So it's been a process writing it, and it's kind of going through a little bit of that backstory and how I got into it. And I didn't used to do SEO. I didn't want to do SEO. I was just a developer, and that was what I enjoyed doing. I liked making little sites for little small businesses and doing things like that. And I used to, I tried to outsource it somewhat, you know, not like to India or anything, but I tried to bring on other people to help out with that when I had clients who wanted it. And I it just so happened that I kept running into clients that were like really fixated on SEO. Like, I don't know if other people have had that experience where, you know, they're hired to build a site or whatever, and the client is just like, SEO, 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 SEO. So I'm like, that was my experience when I first got started. And I'm like, what, like, I never said I did SEO. Like, what are you, why are you?
Do you think it was, were you building just particular sites? Maybe it was the same style of site, like an e-commerce site or some kind of marketing site? Was it because you were falling into that niche, do you think?
It may have just been because, like, the clients were referring each other to me, and gotcha. And it just kind of happened that way. And I'll be honest with you, like, I got burned a few times trying to hire out SEO, and it sucked. Like, I tried to bring on other companies and they didn't do anything, and they just had excuse after excuse for months, and it made me look like an idiot. Like,
can you take us down one of those painful memories for us? one example.
All right. I don't want to go into like specifics.
Yeah, you don't have to say names or anything.
I don't like to do that. But okay, one of my first clients that I had that was really, really taking a hard line with, you know, I want SEO. I was like, okay. So I brought on another company, and they were supposed to be doing kind of like the ongoing SEO type thing where you pay them a monthly fee and they go in and give you, you know, optimized header stuff and optimized copy for different pages, and they give you a monthly report on, oh, you've moved up for this amount and this, your traffic's up, and they do that whole thing. And they were literally, it was a month to rewrite a meta description. Right. Like, 1 month, we give you one meta description. I'm like, really? Like, right. I'm paying you how much, and you did what exactly? I'm not following here. And so we went down that road, and it was painful, and the client was not happy, and I had to continue to try and cover for these people. And I was upfront about the fact that I never did anything where I was like, oh no, I'm totally doing it. Like, I don't operate that way. If I'm gonna hire somebody out, I'm gonna come right out and tell you, you know, look, this is not what I'm doing. This is what they're doing. I will manage it, but this is how we're going to do it. But at the same time, you know, I brought these people on, so it's my responsibility. I'm managing them, and the client was not happy at all, and I rightfully so. I wasn't happy either. Right. And they actually went as far as to give us, like, fudged reports. Like, they were giving us traffic reports that didn't sync up with analytics. It was total BS. I mean, and this was ongoing for months, and finally we just had to fire them, and this happened to me more than one time. And these were not like fly by night, like nobody nowhere companies. Like, these, some of them were at least somewhat known in the local SEO space, and it surprised me. And to this day, I'm still surprised by what some SEO companies will put out there and what they will claim that they're doing for people. So
it's definitely the market. It's like the web development design market, in a sense where you're paying for a brand, you know, once you start getting up to the higher echelon, right? You're starting to pay for somebody who's either had proven results or they're just an industry name or something like that.
Right.
But you see some crazy things, and, you know, I have this handful of the same stories doing the same thing when I started out, getting burned by other SEO firms. And just, you know, looking back at, boy, maybe I'm in the wrong business. maybe I should have been in that business, and maybe I shouldn't have been in development and design.
That's kind of what happened. Like, yep. I kind of kept having this experience, and I'm like, well, you know, if these people are making this much and this is what they're providing, what am I doing? Like, right. What am I? I mean, there's clearly some room here to maybe provide something that's actually good and also make some money, because these people are making money and I don't know what they're doing.
Right.
So that's kind of how I got into that space. And, I think that SEO in some circles, like especially in kind of developer circles and other people, like, it has a little bit of a stigma, to be honest. And I've seen even like Yoast has been a little bit, you know, I don't know I don't know how I would put it exactly. He's a little bit on the outside, maybe more than he would be if he was just a developer and not like an SEO developer. You know what I mean? Because he's produced one of the most popular plugins that's ever been created, and I still, like, when I see people interacting with him and stuff, like, I feel like he is still a little bit on the outside, and maybe some of that's like his own doing, but at the same time, I have experienced it myself where you know, you talk to some people and they don't necessarily look at SEO in the greatest light. Mm. It's kind of like, oh, that's that scammy stuff that those spammers do, and, you know, oh, you must be one of those assholes.
Right.
Like, so it's fair. That's a fair, yeah. That's a fair assessment.
Yeah.
Like, I don't hold it against people when they feel that way. I just try to kind of diffuse it as much as I can by saying, you know, well, no, that's not really what I do. I try to provide value to people, and I think that we do. You know, if somebody's hired us and we're helping them out and they're not getting more than they're putting towards us, then what am I doing? Like, I wouldn't feel comfortable with that. So they need to definitely be getting something for their money, or I'm not comfortable with that.
Yeah. As WordPress entrepreneurs, it's always something that we're looking at and saying, hey, we shouldn't leave money on the table if we don't have to. And that, you know, transcends to either hosting or support, monthly support, or even SEO. You know, if it's something that you can bring in house and you can do it well and you can set the expectation and you can deliver results to your clients, I'm not opposed to saying to jumping into the SEO market. If I were to do it again, I'm not going to. But but I you know, I love that approach. And look, on the flip side, SEO is changing. We all know that. And they need to have an SEOer needs to have their hand in the development, in the design, has much more of an impact now. So it's not just keywords and meta descriptions anymore and link building. It's a whole bunch of other stuff.
Right.
So it's about time that they start delivering results, and they're going to need to start doing some web design development too in their own in-house shop. So it'll be interesting to see.
It has kind of started going in that direction a lot more, and there is more crossover than there used to be. And personally, I think that's a good thing.
Yeah.
I like that it's gotten more into that, where it's actually more of a out in the open kind of like straight up marketing effort, rather than like this weird esoteric like keywords and it's more tangible, and people can be held accountable a little bit more than they could back in the old days. So I think that's good.
Absolutely. WordPress development. I see your site is built on Genesis from StudioPress. What are your thoughts on, you know, using frameworks? Do you use frameworks for all of your clients? How does that all go down?
The vast majority of what we do is done on Genesis. I've worked with other stuff. I used to do things with some of the Woo theme stuff. I like their stuff too, and you know, we've rolled our own a few times as well, and that sort of thing. But I've found that using Genesis just makes it faster and easier for us to get the job done. That's maybe not true for everybody, but for us, it's made it easier for us to achieve what we need to achieve. And it may just be because we're more familiar with it, but you know, and it makes it easier to do things like with the new version of Genesis that's coming out. They've already added a whole bunch of rich snippet data into it. They've added schema.org throughout. And that's something that is up and coming in SEO, that if you want to be kind of on the latest and greatest, you need to start doing things with rich snippet data and getting things set up with schema.org, where you're doing things like having star rating show in the SERPs, and you're having you know, your authorship tag appended everything so that you get your smiling little face in the SERPs and everything, and and, you know, you can start getting like, especially for people that do things like recipe blogging. Mm-hmm. People that do things like reviews are huge. There's all kinds of different things that the rich snippet data will help you for inclusion into these new efforts that Google is putting out. And especially for localized stuff, the schema.org stuff for local businesses does make a big impact on if you're included in some of those local search stuff, So it is important, and Yoast has a has an add-on for his plugin for that too. But if you're on Genesis, you can just filter your stuff to have that data included without having to add an extra plugin, without having to do anything extra, and you can set all that stuff up much easier and much faster than if you had to code it all yourself, or if you had to rely on another plugin, or you have to do it. So that's another reason why we like to use Genesis, is because right. they're constantly improving it, and they do have a focus on SEO, and they have a good understanding of it, and they have people at Copyblogger that are in that space, and they know what's coming up and what they need to be focusing on, and it just takes that extra thing that we have to worry about away. So that's another reason why we use it.
Gotcha. I'm going to put my conspiracy theorist hat on for a second, as I like to do from time to time. And my whole thought on rich snippets and giving this data to Google is the mm-hmm. death of websites as we know it, because all we're doing is building a foundation for Google to suck the data from us and to plop it onto their platform, be it Google Maps or Google Plus or Google Glass or whatever new platform comes out over the course of the next 5 years. Am I crazy, or we just are, is this whole data thing a good thing?
Well, you know, I've heard people say things like that, and it is true that Google is harvesting everything, and they will bring it into their services, and they will use it to improve their stuff. And, you know, there is some of that. But I feel like Google wouldn't really have much purpose for existing without people that are creating this stuff. Mm-hmm. So if Google's using all this data to improve their service and provide a better experience for the people that are using Google, then that's going to trickle down into the people that are ranking throughout Google's services. Because, you know, whether they're adding things into the maps or they're adding things into, like, their different things, like, you know, I'm trying to think of another good example of some of the rich snippet stuff, like,
you know, like address and phone number,
right, and
stuff,
the tables
like
that they've added, and like plane tickets and hotels and all this stuff. And if there weren't sites feeding them this stuff on the regular, then it would be kind of useless. So I think they're going to really continue to depend on these third-party people that are building all these things to pull that data in. I don't think that Google's going to be necessarily concerned with, like, replacing other stuff with their own stuff. It's more like augmenting. They're going to be augmenting.
Gotcha. Gotcha.
So I think that that's... I think it's an okay thing. Google's an interesting company.
Yeah.
And you're always kind of dancing with them when you do this kind of work. You're always kind of, you know, you're like, what are you guys doing over here? What can I do to kind of, it's an ongoing flux all the time. You always have to keep your eye on what's going on. And that's kind of what keeps it interesting. You know, what works today might not work tomorrow. And you just got to keep up with everything.
Let's talk about WordPress for a little bit. So you, obviously going back to the meetup, you do the meetup.
Mm-hmm.
You also partake in the local WordCamps that go on down there.
Yep.
And you do a show called WP Bacon.
I do.
What spurred that besides me? No, I'm just kidding. Let's talk.
Dude, honestly, like, your show was part of the inspiration for it. I mean, I bought the domain a while back, and I just kind of liked it. I'm like, I'm going to do something with this eventually. I don't know exactly what, but I want to do something with it. And we kicked around the idea of maybe starting up some type of a, like, resource type site and other thing, kind of like what Saeed does.
Mm-hmm.
Something in that kind of a space, and I don't know, it just didn't really appeal to me enough to actually go through with it with that domain. I mean, we still might, we never know what we're going to end up doing.
Right. I hear you.
But my friend Bobby Brooks, we went out to WordCamp Austin to go hang out with him and go to WordCamp, and we sponsored, and it was awesome. WordCamp Austin was one of the best that we've been to. It was a lot of fun. Anybody who's looking for a WordCamp to go to, go check out Austin next year, because I'm sure it'll be a blast. It was awesome this year. And we wanted to do something together, and we were hanging out after WordCamp, and I told him that I had this domain, that I didn't know what I was going to do with it, and there's been all these kind of podcasts that have crept up recently, like you've got yours, and the Dradcast has gotten a lot of traction lately, and then there's the Water Cooler, and I'm sure that there's going to be more popping up soon. And, you know, the guys on the Dradcast have a really good time putting their show on, and you seem to have a lot of fun doing your interviews, and everybody seems to enjoy them. I know that I've really enjoyed watching all of them and everything. And it just seemed like a good move. It seemed like it'd be fun. It seemed like we could have some interesting conversations with people. And so we decided to just go ahead and do it. And we're doing it now. And I thought the first one went pretty well. It's a little bit by the seat of our pants because, I mean, I'm not really... Like I don't have a background in podcasting.
Right.
Like I'm not a.
I didn't go to school for podcasting.
Right. Like I don't have a recording background or anything like that. So we kind of just, to be honest, the night before, we were trying to figure out how we were going to do the introduction, because we actually have like an actual intro that we had made, and that's all, like, we still got to get that sorted. But, and I was like, wait a minute. I thought it would be really easy to just add this extra user into the chat and be able to run audio through it. And it's like, yeah, not so much. So to be able to run the audio that we need to do, like the way that the Dradcast does, I had to go and figure all that stuff out like right before the show and everything. So that was fun. And I'm sure there'll be more of that along the way. And then we had John drop off like first thing. As soon as we got on the call, he dropped off like,
yeah, the awakening to the overhead of a podcast happened, and to me, rather quickly when I started building up a backlog of guests. Not because I was trying to spread it out so that I wasn't just putting out a podcast every single day, because then people would never catch up.
Right.
But just for the fact that I couldn't keep up with moving the files around, editing them, exporting them, uploading them, writing about them, promoting them. There's so much that goes beyond just what you and I are doing right now, hitting the record button, that folks might not see.
Yeah, there's a lot that goes into it. There's a lot of planning. There's a lot of other stuff that you got to be concerned with. You got to set up all the stuff for like iTunes, and you want to get into the different directories and get everything else all going. And there's a lot of stuff. Like, if you're thinking about starting a podcast, make sure you got some time.
Yeah, absolutely.
Because it's a little bit of a commitment.
Yes, absolutely. I cannot agree anymore. So we're starting to see bunches of podcasts come along, bunches of media and news sites coming out for WordPress. It's funny, and you know, I have a pretty good conversation going on my blog post recently, WordPress News and Media.
Yep.
And DevPress is chiming in. Ben just chimed in about WP Engine and Torque. I mean,
right.
It's one of these topics where everyone just kind of, I don't know if it's the love-hate relationship, like, oh, we don't need WordPress news because we can get WordPress news from just Twitter and our friends. But then, you know, when you have a site like WP Daily come along and then vanish, and now being acquired by, or at least the archives being acquired by Torque.
Right.
You know, people are like, hey, where's my news? Oh, you said you didn't need the news. Oh, but I want it. Oh, but you said you were going to get it from Twitter. Like, you know, it's just we're in an interesting space right now, and I think it is because of the growth of WordPress slowly becoming a household name.
Yeah, and I think, you know, I've heard a lot of people saying that, you know, WordPress has grown up and da 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 da, and I don't know if I don't 100% agree with that. Like, I don't think WordPress has grown up. I think it's kind of like an awkward teenager right now.
Yep.
Like, it's we're still figuring it all out, and it will be grown up eventually, and we're kind of getting there. But there's still a lot of, you know, well, is this going to work? We don't really know yet. We're going to try it anyway. And I think that's cool. I think we're in it at a good time. You know, when I first got more involved with kind of the WordPress community, like, because I've been using WordPress for a while now, but I didn't actually interact with anybody in the, you know, the community per se, until maybe it was about last year after WordCamp Orlando is when I first started talking to more people, got on Twitter with everyone, and kind of met more of the people that contribute to core and had conversations with a lot of different developers and stuff like that. And it's cool. Like, I'm really glad that we got more involved. But I've kind of felt like I was late to the game, like, because there's all these people that have been kind of involved with the community and doing all this stuff for, you know, 6-8 years now. And now that I've been in it for a little while, I think that, you know, we came in at a good time. And it's kind of an interesting time in WordPress right now. It just turned 10, and we're going through a lot of changes. A lot of different types of people are coming into the space. You got more like business type people like Chris Lemma, and you got more marketing people and all kinds of different people that were never really in the space before. So it's shaking things up a little bit. And you got people like John Nolan that are trying to do other things to shake it up too. I think it's a really interesting time to be involved with WordPress, and I'm glad that we're here. Like, it's cool.
Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely. Couldn't agree more. Same thing. You know, I've been running the WordPress shop for about 4 years now, and, you know, not until WordCamp New York 2012 did I really start to get kick it into gear, into the community, partly because I was heads down working.
Yeah.
but just seeing that at, you know, we were always going to local WordPress meetups. But not until I actually went to New York, which was a pretty large one, to actually see that collaboration, which also sparked the genesis of the Matt Report, because what I also observed were, you know, the haves and the have-nots, the cool kids, the not-so-cool kids, those who would talk to folks and those who wouldn't.
Right.
This is a topic that some people shy away from when I bring it up, but it was the hard, cold reality of, oh, that's so and so. They are, you know, this god amongst gods of the WordPress world. And I said, you know what? This is crazy. I'm going to bring these people onto the show so we can expose them for good, so that people can just meet them and say, look, they're just normal human beings.
Right. Yeah. I've experienced that too. I've seen that kind of thing take place. Where, you know, you've got the people who are at WordCamp, and then you've got the people who are kind of like, you know, the celebs almost of WordCamp. You know, they're giving the talks. They're running places like Web Dev Studios, and they've got all this stuff, and people are kind of afraid to approach them a lot, I think. And it's not, I don't really know that it's because that those people are unapproachable. I haven't found that to be the case at all. I think it's more just that the people are just kind of wired to be that way, where, you know, they see them doing all these things and they're like, oh, well, why would he talk to me? Like, but I think that if people feel that way, they should not feel that way at all, and right, just go up and talk to them, because I haven't met anybody yet that was like hesitant to talk to me. Like, you know, I went right up to Brad Williams when I first met him in Miami and was like, hey, what's up? Like, what are you doing? Like, how's it going? Like, and, you know, if you are interested in meeting more of those people, I would say, you know, don't go up to them and ask them a bunch of like development questions.
How do you build
this
theme?
Like, you know, don't be that guy, because I'm sure, you know, they must get that like all day, like every time they're at any kind of an event. So I didn't want to be like that guy where I go up and like, oh, I don't know how to like reconfigure the post for this and da 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 da. Could you tell me that? Like, no, don't go in like that, because you probably won't be able to make a connection. And I think it's better to go in and just, you know, they're people, like, hang out with them. They're cool. Like, right. So build that relationship, and believe me, once you get to know them, they'll help you out with whatever you're having trouble with. I guarantee you. Like, if you do, I ask people all the time when I get stuck on something. I'm like, hey, Brad, what's up? I got this thing. Like, oh yeah, sure. Here, this is how you do that. You know, like, I've got this other thing. And so, and I try to do that for other people too, because, you know, everybody's at their own level. I've got plenty of people that I talk to that I can help out with development stuff, SEO stuff, anything that I know about. I try to give that to anybody who's interested. And I get help from lots of other people. You know, Norcross helps me out. Lots of people have given me all kinds of great advice. Who's another one that Brady Vercher. If nobody has talked to Brady Vercher, that guy is really smart. Like, he has helped me out more than anybody, and so like freely and giving with his information. He's awesome. So if you don't know Brady, you can find him on Twitter. He's behind Audio Theme. They're doing this thing where they've created a theme framework for musicians and stuff, and it's really cool, and he's a great developer, great guy. So
awesome.
Definitely talk to him if you haven't.
That's going to perfect segue over to our listener questions, and Ryan Sullivan actually just asked that same question about why or what motivates you for helping people as much as you do. And I think you just kind of answered that question because you've asked to the community and people have helped you, and therefore you're given back. Is that about right?
Yeah. I mean, I feel like, you owe it to people. If people have questions and you can answer it, you know, why would you not? Like, why would you hold back or not answer questions for people? I don't understand if anybody feels that way. Like, just help out. I mean, it's not going to kill you. If you have an answer, give it. And most people, I haven't found anybody that was hesitant to be like, oh, no, I'm not going to help you with that.
Right.
So, you know, everybody's been real cool.
Tremendous. Surefire Jonathan, or excuse me, Surefire WebServe, at Surefire WebServe, asks, where's my plugin? LOL.
Oh, Jonathan.
You'll get it when it's ready.
Yeah, I'm helping him out with the little thing that he's doing. It's like a sidebar widget type thing. So
nice.
It's on my list of 10 billion things that I got to get done. So like if I were I try not to keep an actual physical list, because if I did, I think I might just go ahead and like put cyanide in something and eat it. Like I just like I keep a list of the most important stuff, but if I kept a list of everything that I want to do and need to do, like it would be
His second half of that question was, or is, how do you balance all of these projects that you take on, your agency, WP Bacon, and so on? I'd say it's hard drugs at this point.
Yeah, pretty much. Like it's rough, and you know, I think that I'm guilty of doing too much, I'd say. Like I definitely do need to kind of focus more on some things and maybe let go of some others, and I think most people who work on the web are have that problem.
Yeah.
Because, you know, there's so many cool things you could be doing, and, like, you have all these ideas to do things, and a lot of them would probably be awesome, but maybe you don't have the resources to get them all done, or maybe you're working on this other stuff. And so I think most people who work on the web have that same problem, and it is something that's difficult to manage, and it's still something that I'm working through, and I think most people are working through that, too.
Yeah, I'd say, you know, it's the entrepreneurial bug, and especially if you're a web entrepreneur. You are sitting in front of your laptop or desktop all day long, and you're seeing all these ideas flying off of Twitter, and new posts coming out, and you're just getting quickly attached to all these little things that keep coming out, like mosquitoes to a bright light.
Yeah, and you do, like, you have to try and rein that in a little bit, otherwise you'll never actually deliver anything, and then you got people pissed off at you, and I've had, you know, where it takes me too long to get things done because I've got so many things going on at once. And so it's a struggle. And I'd say that if anybody else is struggling with it, just know you're not alone, and try to rein it in. Yep. That's my advice, is rein that in. Like,
yep. Totally agree.
Get some focus.
Yeah. If you're a new listener to the show, go back and check out my interview with John Saddington. Had a great, great interview with him talking about finding that focus to help you with kind of this this issue of running all over the place.
Mm-hmm.
Let's jump to the next segment. What's in your toolbox? Do you have one app or one piece of hardware that you use every day for your business that someone else might not be using? Something unique in your toolbox?
Oh, man. Like, we've got I have to have so many different subscriptions to tools and stuff for SEO stuff that I'm sure a lot of the other people you've had on the show don't necessarily use. Like Ahrefs is awesome. If you need to do like exploratory things on like where people are linking from and like how your content is being linked to and that sort of thing, Ahrefs is cool, and it's kind of like Open Site Explorer from Moz.
Nice.
But it's got a lot of really good data in it, and then we use, like, I have a Moz account, we use Raven Tools. We've got all kinds of stuff that we use that I'm sure a lot of people don't. And it's just, it's the nature of the beast. We have to do a lot of analysis, and so we need a lot of things to help out with that.
Awesome. Let's jump into the lightning round, ask you a series of quick questions, and you'll have a series of quick answers.
Okay.
Don't buckle to the pressure. Eric Ham buckled to the pressure. You won't. What's the one plugin that you can't live without?
I got to give it to Yoast. It's Yoast.
A favorite WordPress or business book?
You know, I don't like books. So I don't like books, period. I don't read books. I never have, and I just don't like them. So none.
None. A quote you live or run your business by?
I think it was Max Schmeling, the boxer. He said, why did I want to win? Because I didn't want to lose. Like, that's what he said. And I've always had that kind of like, I don't want to lose. Like, I'd rather not lose. So that's why. Like,
I love that. What's the best business or career advice you ever received from someone?
You know, I can't remember who said it to me, but I was having a conversation with somebody, and it was a while, long time ago, and they told me that I should always try to put myself into the shoes of my customer. Whoever I'm working for, I need to put myself into their shoes and make sure that if I were them, that I would be interested in and happy with whatever it is that I'm doing. And if that wasn't true, then how do I fix that? Because, you know, I think when it really comes down to it, whatever you're doing, if you're selling products or you're providing a service or whatever you're doing, if you don't understand your customer and you don't put yourself into their position, then you're going to have problems, period.
Gotcha. What's the longest a client project has ever taken? That's the reaction I was looking for.
Wow. Well, back when I was a freelancer, I used to do a lot of subcontract work for like other development shops and stuff like that. And I think one in particular was for this company that would, they took a long time to do everything. And I think the project actually drug on for over a year and a half. It was nice. Ridiculous. And it was really simple too. Like I could not understand why. I don't know what they were doing, because it should have been like a 2-3 week, maybe a month long thing at most, and literally a year and a half.
If you had to switch to another CMS, what would it be?
I've tried everything, and there's none that I would switch to. I just throw my hands up and go like hang out by the pool, like whatever.
Who should I interview next?
You should talk to Brady. You should talk to Brady. And if not Brady, talk to Ozzy, because he's my homie. Nice. Ozzy Rodriguez.
What's the one question I didn't ask you that I should have?
You know, it's stupid, because I've watched your show a million times, and I've seen you ask these questions to everybody. And I should have had this like pre.
That's what everybody says.
Like that's a tough question to answer, man.
Who's going to be next on WP Bacon?
Oh man, like we have a list of people that we want to get on, and I've done some outreach to some of them. We've got a couple of interesting people that may come on, so I don't want to reveal it yet, because we haven't gotten like a confirm from anybody, but. It's going to be interesting, and it's not going to be somebody that you would expect. We're trying to make sure that we keep people that are outside of the norm for who's coming on. And we do want to involve people from the community, too. Like, and if I don't bring on the guys from the Dradcast, they're going to kill me. So they'll be on eventually.
Nice. All right, Robert. This has been an awesome interview. I think folks are going to take a lot away from this, not only from the technical like SEO side stuff, but about giving back and kind of growing within the community and making a name for yourself. So where can folks find you on the web to say thanks?
You can hit me up at one of my million Twitter accounts. It's at RealFatMedia is my main one, and then we got the WP Bacon one and the Genesis update thing we're doing. God, there's so many now.
Awesome.
What was I saying earlier about focus?
Getting down on that focus.
Youneedfat.com, you can get me there. So
tremendous. All right, everybody. Thanks for tuning in. MattReport.com, MattReport.com/subscribe. Join the mailing list, and I'll let you know when all this fun stuff comes out. See you next time. And then there's another amazing Matt Report in the bag. Really hope you enjoyed this one with Robert Nui. He taught us a lot about what he's doing with digital media, SEO, and how to deal with those clients. If you want more of this great stuff, MattReport.com, MattReport.com/subscribe. This track is called Focus by iInc. You can find this music in the show notes. Till next time.